Welcome back, listeners, to Three Men for Thee in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. We're so glad you can join us again. We have with us an amazing young man, A.J. Britton, who's going to share his testimony with us and a special project that he's working on. We just finished up a podcast with Kaleem Andros, who is one of our dear friends with the New Canaan Society. He recently returned from Lebanon, where he was ministering to Christians there. And coming up next, we will have on our podcast, Chris Hughes, who is the founder of Citizens for the American Foundation. But now we're going to be focusing our time on Mr. AJ. So AJ, we're glad to have you with us, and we're going to let Jack go ahead and start off with the questions.
Well, welcome to the program, AJ. We are certainly appreciative of your time. And like our listeners and myself, you're new to me and you're new to us. So we'd like to hear your story. And of course, eventually we'd like to get around to hearing your testimony for Christ as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just happy to be here with you guys. It's a privilege to get to speak with you guys today. But my name is AJ, and I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. I'm one of six, so I have a pretty big family, and it is amazing to see just how the Lord has protected me and my family as I was growing up. I was kind of raised in at Delaney Street Baptist Church, which is the same church that my mother was kind of born and raised in, and the same church that my grandma has been going since she was a teenager. It's really cool to kind of see how that, like, that almost Timothy moment where his faith is his mom's faith, is his grandmother's faith. Through that, I was able to just learn early on what it looked like to kind of get to know Jesus a little bit, to know stories about him at the very least. And at one point, at a very young age, around 7 years old, I just told my mom, I said, "Mom, I think I know who Jesus is, and I want to follow him. I want to accept him into my heart." And the cool thing was, she celebrated that while also saying, "Well, what does that mean to you?" She didn't say, "Oh, okay, like that's so cool. Let's just get baptized. Let's rush into this." She said, "Well, what does that mean to have, like, to know Jesus and, like, have him come into your heart and to follow him? Like, what do you believe?" And that kind of took me aback, like, as a little kid, because I was like, "Well, Mom, I just believe what you believe." And she was like, "Well, that's amazing, but that's not what our faith is all about. Our faith isn't just simply riding kind of like on the coattails of what other people believe. It's really believing on your own and having that own, like, personal relationship with Jesus." So she had me describe to her what it looked like to basically go through the process of being saved as a little kid, and challenged me at the very beginning to make my faith my own, which I found to be a very strong reoccurring theme throughout my life. So that's definitely shaped a lot of who I am in my independence in the Lord and how I found my identity in Jesus. But I say that the Lord really protected me at a young age, because going into middle school, I didn't realize how many people didn't know who Jesus was. A lot of people had a lot of different beliefs. Some people said that God was someone else or looked like something else. And a lot of people didn't even say that God was real. A lot of people said that there is no God, which honestly confused me a lot, and which is very strange, because I went to a public school, public elementary school as well, and I just never really considered that people didn't know who Jesus was. And I think that really kind of shook me. And at the same time, I was joining the youth group at my church, and it was a time where I just didn't fit in to them. So it felt like I didn't believe the people, what the people who, like, really cared about me believed in, but the people who didn't really care about me, I believed everything that they believed in. And that was a time where, like, the Lord said, this faith really has to be your own. Like, if you're going to follow me and believe in me, it can't just be because the people who care about you the most believe in me. And through that, I just really was able to get to know Jesus on a very like personal level. In one of the most distinctive times I had was when I went to a camp over the summer, and I heard Christian Stanfill sing a song called My Reward. And he was in that song talking about Jesus. He's saying, you are my reward, all I'm living for. And he's talking about giving his life to Jesus and saying, like, I want nothing else but you. And like, through you, I am satisfied. Which was so kind of hard for me to hear, because in middle school, like with everything that you're going through, it's really easy to not be satisfied. It's really easy to kind of like be alone and feel hurt and feel like no one really knows you or hears you or maybe loves or accepts you for the way that you are. And when I heard that, that continued to like really unravel me and like break me down to build me into something that like the Lord wanted me to be. So I think like that's at least an early start for me. And I would say transitioning into high school, I really was solidifying in my beliefs. And we lost our youth minister, and a new youth minister came in who really cared about like unifying the group. And I just remember my best friend started coming to my church with me, and junior and senior year, at the end of every service that we'd have for youth group, we would just discuss these questions, these hard questions. We let our youth minister have it. Like we were hitting him hard with some questions. We were like, well, why is there suffering in the world? Like, why, like, does God really allow, like, if God's the one who allows people to really like melt their hearts and to follow him, like, why doesn't he just do that for everybody? He challenged us right back and said, yeah, that's a good question. Let's dig into that together. And really like, really dwell on that throughout the week, and we'll bring it back and we'll see what, like, where the Spirit leads us. And that kind of allowed me to open up to like really talking and communicating with God and being led by the Spirit while digging into the Word a little bit more. And through those questions, I was able to really build a defense for Christ in my own faith. And through that, I felt a lot of freedom in Jesus and in this world that we live in, that now I'm starting to understand like what it looks like to be called a stranger. And then I would like to fast forward a little bit, because I chose to go, by the end of senior year, I chose to go to UF, which is only a couple hours away from home. I wanted to get out of the house, but I wanted to really find my own identity. I wanted to really know that like if I burst out of the culture that I'm in right here, where like the Lord has protected me, will I still choose him? Or will I fade to something different? And with that, I moved a couple hours away to Gainesville, Florida, and I loved the place, and I was able to get connected to a church. I mean, that was the first time I've ever looked for my own church. I ever looked for a place that wasn't just simply given to me. And that was a little stressful, but I wouldn't say it really strained my relationship with God. If anything, I was just like, all right, Lord, this is a time where you get to grow me in a way that I've never been grown before. So do your thing. And it was amazing. And through joining that fraternity, or through joining that church, I actually joined a fraternity, Beta Upsilon Chi, which is an amazing group full of young men that want to do a couple of things. They want to grow in the Lord together, and they want to grow in fellowship with each other. And through that, make known the name of Jesus on a campus, on a college campus, which I thought was so unique and so cool. And so through that, I just really was able to learn what it looked like to be discipled and to disciple others, and get a taste of what it looks like to be involved in the community and really like reach out in evangelism, and just like love others well, which kind of led me to my senior year, where I had an idea where I was going. I thought I was going back to Orlando to really just get to dive into that community like I never have before. And I really felt like God was calling me there. But through a long wind of things, I found a program up in Winston-Salem. And
hang on just a second. What was your degree in? What did you study when you were in college?
Oh, yeah. I studied family, youth, and community sciences, which is soft science, kind of like psychology. But at UF, which this degree actually is the same degree that Tim Tebow had, or I guess has, it is known as the helping people major. So actually in a pretty secular, I would say, university, this major in particular was largely, like a large majority were, they had some sort of religious affiliation, and a lot of them were actually believers. So I thought it was so interesting that the major that's known as like the helping people major was honestly kind of filled to the brim with people who really loved Jesus. So that was so kind of cool. And through that, I grew into this like really big heart for the just orphans, children who are going in and out of foster care, children who may not have mothers or fathers who are present or maybe present but are unable to really provide for them in the ways that they need, both like, or whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, and through that I actually like I've grown into a passion where I would love to work with children that are just entering the foster care program. To go back real quick though, I found a program online called the Fellows Program, which is a 9 to 10 month program where you're just learning about how to really glorify the Lord and like learn more about Jesus, but really like dive into your relationship with him in every aspect of your life. So in your family life, in the community around you, in your church, in your work, really seeing how God is present in each one of those aspects. And it's kind of termed as having a seamless life of faith. And once I heard that and heard how much this program in Winston-Salem really cares about the city itself, I loved that. And I really just felt like God was compelling me to come here saying, hey, I'm preparing you to go back to Orlando. I know I'm calling you to Orlando, but right now I want you to prepare somewhere else where I have kind of like deemed the best place for you to be. So that brought me to Winston-Salem. And through that, I got connected to New Canaan Society, which I feel like the men there are of a very similar caliber to the guys in my fraternity, where the guys just want to grow in friendship together and grow in friendship with the Lord while serving the community to the fullest. And through that, Herb, that's how I got connected to you. And that's what brought me here today.
Tell us a little bit more about the Fellows Program. I'm not sure I've heard about that before.
Yes, so there's actually Fellows Programs all over the United States. I heard about it because I had a friend who last year did the Orlando Fellows, and then I have a friend who's this year currently doing the Gainesville Fellows. And between the two of them, they have pretty strong personalities, and they're very close friends of mine. And they just said, hey, this will be a great place for you. This program is less than a year long, but it's focused on students who just graduated college, mostly undergrad, but there's a lot of leeway in that. But it is for a way for us to kind of be it's like a catalyst for the rest of our lives, where we don't just kind of jump into the workforce, where we're just working and having a vision just towards like our own career path, but seeing that professional development under a new lens of like we are placing our faith first in a community of fellows, which there's about 12 of us, 13 this year, but typically it's about 12, kind of matching that idea of just Jesus and the disciples, where we get to really grow in that professional development that recent graduates typically get to have. But we also get to see what it looks like to be majorly involved in church with that community. We get to see what it looks like to make an impact on the community around us. So each week we'll have a leader lunch on Wednesdays where just somebody, a prominent member of the community, comes out and speaks to us and talks about just a little bit about their story, a little bit about the city from their perspective and in the ways that they've been able to see God work through them or through their organization on the city. So we get those really unique opportunities to build connections to others around the city. And it's a time for us to work on that professional development, work on our faith, while also serving others and growing together and challenging each other in a very safe space as fellow believers. And it is a very, it is something I think could be highly recommended to just about anybody. A lot of my friends, they've heard of the program after they graduated and they're like, man, if I just knew about it before, this would have been something that would have been perfect for me. Because it also allows you to kind of focus on your own path. So like what I care about is the idea of like really, really diving deep into the city. And that's what New Canaan like really focuses on. And through that, my director, Ned Erickson, allowed me to kind of like jump into this organization. But then we also have people who are in finance or people who just are really focusing on like other things or have a passion for other things. And we find jobs that are kind of fitting for each member of our group. So it gets to be very individualized where we get to grow individually and know more about ourselves and like what we desire and then match that with each other as a whole group and then match that also with like what the Lord has planned for us. So that's a little bit about the program. I'm sure there's a lot more that I'm missing, but yeah.
What year did you complete your undergraduate studies?
Yeah, I actually just finished August 18th, 2020.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously very recently. So yep. I just to let you know, I spent over 47 years of my life in Florida, 26 oh, really? Of it in the Tampa area. So I was pretty close to where you were growing up. Yeah. The church you mentioned there was a very, very large church. In fact, we called it Baptist World. It was so big. Obviously in Orlando, Disney World is there, but this church was so huge. It was called Baptist World. And I can't think of the name of it at this moment. I've only been there one time. And that was near 20 years ago. It's been a while, are you familiar with that church?
I know of First Baptist. I know of Discovery. I'm trying to think of other Baptist churches. There's a lot of really large churches. They're not
in that area, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they're not. A lot of them are not Southern Baptist.
Okay. But you grew up in a Southern Baptist church, correct?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, and mine was very small. Right now currently has, I would say about 200 or maybe less than 200.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say it's very gratifying to me and encouraging too. Because it's been a long time, and most of us, all of us here, the other two fellows with me, it's been a long time since we were in college, and the world has changed, needless to say, a good deal. So it's encouraging to me that you found an organization like the group that you're not only associated with now, but your fraternity back in school that encouraged you. I know that there are a number of organizations such as you know, Campus Crusade for Christ, the Navigators, and other groups. But that sounds like they played an instrumental part in your spiritual growth. Would you say that's the case?
Oh, yes. I would definitely say that's true.
So how is this associated with the Alpha Project? Or this is the Alpha Project?
So the through joining fellows, I was able to get connected with New Canaan Society. And for those of you who don't know, who Jay Helvey, he was on one of you guys' previous podcasts, but he is the chairman on the board for New Canaan Society, and he's the Lord really gives him vision, like a lot of vision for reaching out to people and bringing people in, both believers and non-believers. And that's something that Alpha actually really focuses on, really dives into, is this idea of having a safe place for people to go to ask big questions. Like, what is the purpose of life? Why am I here? That a lot of times we feel like we haven't been able to answer, just like that little bit of like a hole in our soul that says, what is going on? Like something's, I'm not completely satisfied. I kind of want something more. I kind of remember something more. Sorry about that. But Alpha really kind of encourages this idea of just talking in a safe place that anybody with any perspective can join and add in, and no one will feel attacked. No one will feel isolated in it, that we can kind of like talk in love and talk in truth. So there's a lot of talk about who God is, who Jesus is. So tonight actually is the second week of this our first Alpha group. And the big question is, who is Jesus? And it's really interesting because they ask this question, they pose this question, and a lot of people will say, oh, Jesus is made up, or, oh, Jesus is historically a man, but that's all he is, and then some people say, oh, Jesus is everything. And then there's this video that goes with it that says a little bit of this just historical context of who Jesus was, and it's not there's not a lot of bias in it. It's a lot more of just an openness to it, to say, hey, here's a lot of information that we can give you. Now we just want to discuss it. Let's talk. Whatever questions we have, whatever comments you want to make, make it. We encourage it. And I think like through that, Alpha has really grown. It's in over 169 countries, and millions of people have already been through this program. And the cool thing is you're allowed to leave whenever. You do not have to stay. We do not try to pressure anybody to being there. People will go through the program. A lot of people will not know anything about the Bible or about Jesus, about God, and get to know a lot and still not necessarily follow him. A lot of people will come in believing in one thing and changing, believing in another. And a lot of people will come in kind of unfazed, but at least we've had the opportunity to not just expand others' perspectives, but expand our own as well, and really cater to everyone around us. And I think that's a lot of what Alpha cares about, is like really loving on your neighbor and an inclusivity that allows people who wouldn't typically walk into a church to hear from those who kind of belong to Christ.
So let me see if I'm following you here. The Alpha Project is, at least in this state, in this city, is being sponsored by the New Canaan. Is that correct?
Yes. In this city, in Winston-Salem, we are doing, New Canaan Society is putting on Alpha meetings. And we started with one group, but we plan on expanding to several groups. That are a mix of believers and non-believers. But yeah, it's definitely kind of head on by NCS currently. There are definitely, I would not be surprised if there were churches that were also putting on this program or like engaging in Alpha, just because it doesn't necessarily belong to any one group. It doesn't belong to any one church or organization. It has been like highly encouraged for anybody to grab onto it that wants to. Even individuals are allowed to say, hey, I would like to start an Alpha group. What does that look like? And talk to Alpha, because Alpha is actually its own organization as well, but talk and partner with them. But yes, as far as I know, we are one of the only organizations that are planning on having several Alpha meetings or Alpha teams that are really trying to bring anybody in. And it's not limited to just our city too. We have people from like even my hometown in Orlando and in Gainesville. I invited a few friends to hop on. So it really is open to anybody and everybody that is even somewhat interested.
Okay, is this done, forgive me, Herb, is this done virtually, or is it you? Do you go to a building, and who provides the materials?
So currently, it is all virtual, which allows people. Right now, we have people from Florida and someone even from California who are trying to hop on this, and being virtual has allowed us to really reach people from a farther distance that aren't quite like close in proximity. But typically it started out as being something where people go in person, people just eat together, talk together, and then they discuss together to kind of have that feeling of like, we actually care about you. We're not just here to like convince anybody of anything. We want to know you for you. And we're still, I think, maintaining that and constructing that culture online, but it does look different. So there are other alphas out there that are meeting in person, probably not as much right now, just considering the coronavirus. But yeah, there are some. We just are not one of them currently.
Who actually started the Alpha Project? What are the roots of that?
Yeah, so I know Alpha was being run like out of a church in London, I believe, in the 90s. And then a guy named Nicky Gumbel took over running the Alpha course from a guy named, I want to say Nikki Lee. And at first it was just kind of a small thing. But then I guess he realized that people from outside the church were wanting to explore faith, but they weren't really desiring to necessarily step into the church. So through that, he really just like allowed, like tried to open it up to people who wouldn't necessarily want to go into church, but do want to discuss those questions. Cause a lot of people really do. And within a few years, he was teaching others how to, like, it just expanded so fast. And he started conferences where other church leaders were coming to him, and he was teaching this program, and it was just like, it blew up like crazy. And through that, like I mentioned earlier, the statistics of over millions of people, like millions of people in over 193 states, or not states, countries, have gone through this program. And it's worldwide now. But it all started with something very small in London, that a guy named Nicky Gumbel, who just didn't think of it, like he honestly didn't think much of it, just allowed the spirit to take off with it. And it took off. I think just through a lot of like perseverance and persistence, just because people want that. I mean, people just, I have this like longing inside of them that want something, that want these questions answered, because they are important. So yeah, that's a little bit, I would say that's probably the most I know about its history.
And where did the materials and all that you use, were they just developed by this priest or?
Yep. So all the materials that are used are available online. And when you create an alpha team, the like leaders of the team have access to all the videos and everything and can give the access to anybody else. But in terms of people who are just kind of attending or participating, that the whole point of like alpha isn't to really have like anybody feel pressure, that we wanted to really feel a lot like a discussion. So there isn't a lot of necessary like materials that are given out other than like the videos that we just make available to everyone.
So how's it funded?
That's all online.
How's this all funded?
That is a great question. And I will be honest, and I couldn't tell you the answer.
So it doesn't cost anything to be in the Alpha Project.
It does not cost anything to be a participant at all. And I do not believe it costs anything to lead it either. If it does, it has not been made known to me, because it'd be paid through NCS. But usually I think if it did, it it would have been mentioned. But it definitely, I mean, it's a nonprofit, and a lot of it is like donors. It's just like people who like Alpha has kind of changed their lives, or churches that say, hey, we want to partner with you. They really fund it. Cause it's a ministry. Like, that's what it is. And it's a ministry that's really catering to a target audience that is so large that is often kind of missed. And when people kind of see that and understand like the mission of this ministry, a lot of people are donating. So I would say I know that for fact, I guess. And that's how it's largely funded. And it is a nonprofit organization. So that's one of, that's their leading, I would say that's their leading source of income.
If people wanted to give, would they give to the New Canaan Society?
If people want to give, I'd probably send them to Alpha first. But if they wanted to give through New Canaan, that would definitely be acceptable, and we can forward it along to Alpha.
So you've been in Winston-Salem how long now?
Only about less than 2 months. I got here the day after I graduated, considering I didn't walk or anything. So I got here August 19th.
So the fellowship provides you a grant to sustain you while you're participating in this?
Not exactly. So I actually had to raise my own funds for a good amount. And a lot of that was just family and friends to kind of tell them where I am, where I'm headed, how the Lord has used me, how the Lord is continuing to use me. And through that, I've just had a lot of people in my life who've been so generous. It's honestly kind of overwhelming. I'll be honest. I've been one of those people who thinks like when I don't get something, it's unfair or unjust. Like if I were not get something, but somebody who's my equivalent, or I feel like is my equivalent, get something, I felt wronged in the past. And it's almost it's like a feeling of entitlement almost that I've had, that I've like struggled with a little bit. And that was just torn down, to see the generosity from others. Cause I didn't deserve any of that. You know, like I deserved, nothing from anybody. There's nothing I could have done to deserve it. And like, I just had so many friends and family, give so quickly. So the program itself costs about $6,200, which is not like a whole lot considering it also involves, housing. So I don't have to worry about housing at all. But I reached out to like a lot of family and friends, a lot of loved ones. And within the first probably 3 weeks, I raised 5,000 of it. And I think I'm almost there now. I think I only have like 400 left or something, which is crazy. Like, that's insane. When I first started, I wrote my letter and I said, I would just love for people to give this much amount, and I'll raise $3,000, and then I'll just figure out the rest on my own. And a few people wrote back saying, hey man, like, you should know that people care about you and believe in what you're doing. And they just gave so much more than I expected. And then people who I just wrote that, like, I just felt like I should go out on a limb to ask. And I really expected nothing. If anything, I almost felt ashamed to ask. I was like, I should not be asking you because I have not worked on like our relationship. I have not reached out to you like I should, like I feel like I should have. And they were so thankful that I just involved them in that. They said, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your journey. And it's been honestly like, so like kind of overwhelming to see how much support I've been given through that. But yeah, so the program itself does cost money, and it does require a little bit of just like work and effort to reach out to others. Some people do pay it off themselves, but we're actually we're encouraged not to do that, to see how many people like really care about us and support us. And I'm so grateful to have been able to be a part of that and be a recipient of that.
And that's the funds for the fellowship program. Mm-hmm. So you said you're down to $400. Is that what you said?
Yeah. And I think I'll be able to get it. I want, like, it's like very minimal compared to the whole scheme of things. And like, I'll still get a letter in the mail and a check here or there for, like, I think I just had a friend, like my music minister, his family just donated a little bit, and I, like, yesterday, and I haven't reached out to him. Like, all I've been doing is sending him updates now, because I've been trying to send everyone updates about, like, what I'm doing, what the Lord is, like, teaching me, and the way that I'm being, like, kind of stretched and grown and remolded into, like, what God wants me to be. And all I'm doing is kind of allowing people to kind of see that and be a part of that. And through that, they're just so, like, responding in a way that I could never even have imagined. So I have a lot of confidence that I'll be completely funded within the next month, because the due date is November 1st. But yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
So beyond the $400, how will you feed yourself and house yourself?
So actually, since I do work as an intern with New Canaan Society, we do get paid through that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that is a big part of the program, is making sure that we still are working on professional development. We don't want it to look like a year that's isolated in our lives. We want it to look like I said, that, like, catalyst for the rest of our lives. And a part of that is professional development, finding joy in work, finding the purpose in work. And through that, it does also look like having a steady income and learning how to budget and those kind of practical things. So
take me down a typical meeting here. All right. So let's say that tonight I wanted to attend an Alpha meeting. So I assume I would get a login or some information on how to attend either a Zoom meeting or some, whatever you're using to do it virtually. So take me, once I sign on, what's going to happen?
I believe this is an Alpha meeting. So you're starting this up. What's going on?
Yeah. So the moment you sign in, you'll see my pretty face. Most likely you'll see Jay's pretty face too. And the first few minutes, it really is just to talk to you guys. So I would just ask how you guys are doing. Maybe like a high of your week, a low of your week, just like kind of what you've been going through. Just because we do think that's important to get to know every person and what they're a part of. So last week was just a lot of introductions, saying like, oh, who are you? Where are you from? How did you hear about Alpha? Those kind of like service level questions. But then digging a little deeper about like what do you enjoy? And kind of like asking opinions of things, just to show that I do care about like what they care about. So that's the first part, is just really just talking, is getting to know each other. Because a lot of times people don't care about how much you have to say until like they know that you care what they have to say. And after we kind of talk about that, we'll talk a little bit about like the agenda. We say, hey guys, we just want to let you know that this is what, like, we're meeting every Monday for those of you who don't know. And we're just gonna be discussing questions. So describing a little bit about like what Alpha is. I'll introduce myself one more time for any stragglers that might've come on late. Just introducing myself and Jay, introducing himself. We're just discussing a little bit about like what we're there for, the purpose of it. And with that, then we introduce the video. And the video is usually about 22 to like 28 minutes. And what we've decided to do is we send out the link and people just mute themselves and they close their camera for a little bit. They watch the video on their own laptop. That way we make sure that it's not lagging, because sometimes like through Zoom, which is what we do, video sharing, screen sharing, it lags. And we want people to really be able to feel the video, see the video. And we just ask them to watch it just to enjoy it, be engaged in it. And then after that, we wait till everybody comes back And then we just say, hey, so what do you guys think? What does this video look like to you? Was there anything that kind of stood out to you? Was there anything that, you heard that you're like, whoa, I just don't agree with that? Or anything that you heard that you're like, whoa, I never thought about it that way before. Asking those questions of really just like open-ended, you can take it anywhere that you want to take it. And then really rolling with that making it so that everyone kind of gets the ability to speak if they want to, or depending on who. Like I had a buddy last week where I was like, hey man, what are your thoughts? Because I know that he loves to speak, but he kind of only speaks a little bit more when he feels kind of like someone wants to hear it and like is a little bit more pushed to hear it. So kind of getting to know people in that way too. And then we just discuss it. So every week we also have a big question. So this is the second week. This question tonight that we'll be talking about is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? And just getting to hear the different answers, because even believers are not going to have, like, they might not have the completely same answer. Like, because we might not all see Jesus the exact same way. And we just introduce that question, and that's what we talk about for the rest of the time together, which is usually about another like 30 to 45 minutes, because the session itself, each meeting is an hour and a half long. So we usually have about 45 minutes where we just are just talking, and that is the extent of what we do. And then we always close out by thanking everybody. We want to stop on time, just to be really, really honor others' time, because we do see how time is valuable. And then we just always invite them to come out next week. And if they ever have any questions, I make myself available. Jay makes himself available. And then we follow up with the guys and girls each week. Anybody who is there, just invite them to the next meeting. Tell them how valuable their perspective is, and how much we care about them being there, them specifically, each person specifically being there. So that's, to really sum it up, all we do is we talk, we watch a video, and we talk some more. And it's great. Like, we enjoy talking, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. You guys know.
So it sounds like it's once a week. You get a different video every week. And for how long does it take to go through this program?
So it's about an 11-week program. So we started last week. So it'll go into December, to the beginning of December. And then sometimes, depending on the group, there's two additional weeks that we can do after that. So it's 11 weeks, but could grow into 13. And there's one weekend where on Saturday, we're together for a few, we would be together for a few hours. And we just go through kind of like two videos in that day. Those are typically focused on the Holy Spirit. So a lot of people, like in Alpha, we'll call it like the Holy Spirit weekend or just Alpha weekend or something. So yeah, other than that, it's very consistent with time in the space that we're in. And it does take a few months. So we ask people to really get involved in it. And it is one of those programs where it's like, it's better to be involved from beginning to end than to try to jump in on week five. At that point, we would just ask to wait to maybe to jump in on the next Alpha group that we're starting. Cause we really don't want to throw someone in and then talk about the Holy Spirit the first day that they get there. We'd much rather just say, hey, what do you believe is important in life? What does life look like to you? What is the purpose of life to you? And there is a natural progression of the questions that are geared towards Christianity, but yeah, it is a pretty, I wouldn't say intensive in terms of how often we gather, because an hour and a half a week is not super intensive, but it is intensive in terms of just the consistency. We would like people to be there every single week if they feel just kind of compelled to be there. We do want people to be pretty consistent in going from week to week, and that is a long time to ask, 11 weeks.
Where does AJ see himself 5 years from now?
That is a good question. As I did mention, I really do believe the Lord is calling me to Orlando, and I think the cool thing is I was really nervous that I was just wanting to go back. because my family's there. I mean, I love my family. I'm close to my family. I really, really highly value being with them. And I have a niece who just turned one last month, and I have a nephew who's 4. So I mean, of course I want to see them grow up. So I really felt a tug that way. But I was really wrestling with the idea of, like, is the Lord calling me there? Is the Lord, like, telling me to really jump into this city? Or am I just trying to make, like, God's will for me my own? Or my will, God's will, rather than God's will, my own. And I think the Lord has really just made that clear and answered me by setting me here in Winston-Salem, saying, I really truly believe that I will be going back to Orlando. Probably, I would not be surprised if it was in 5 years. But back to Orlando, just preparing somewhere else, learning what it looks like to connect to it, like to people in a city and loving a city where I'm completely, I mean, I had no ties to Winston-Salem at all. Like I knew zero people here other than Ned on the phone. And then half through my interview, who's our other director. So I think that within 5 years, I'll be back in Orlando, it's very highly likely that I would be back in Orlando by then. I've been dating a girl. I've been dating her for almost like two, this month will be 2 years. So I wouldn't be surprised if I had a family within 5 years, maybe a kid or two of my own, which is a little frightening, but mainly exciting for me. And then just really, really in the working with the orphans. Like, I mean, that's just what I want to do. I'm not quite sure the way in which I'm doing it. I don't know if I want to just jump into the nonprofit world, if I want to go and get my master's in social work, if I want to go into seminary and really just lead like a ministry, or like help lead a church and like really have a ministry within the church that are geared towards orphans. I've seen all those venues. And I mean, I really love each one of them. So I am not completely sure what it looks like in 5 years. I have an idea of the city. I have an idea of that I'll probably have a family of my own. And I know the population that I'm working with. And I think that the Lord has made that pretty clear to me. But yeah, so that's a good question. I'm excited to tell you. I'll let you know in 5 years.
Well, AJ, we're so glad that you spent time today to be able to meet with us and tell us about your faith and your testimony and inform us about the Alpha Project. We're so glad you're here in Winston-Salem. Continue to look forward to seeing you and greeting you at the New Canaan Society. And just want to thank you again for being a guest on our podcast today.
Yes, thank you. So good to be here.
Thank you, sir. Good job.
Okay. Thank you. God bless you.
How can we pray for you, AJ?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Let me count the ways, right?
I do. I mean, I'm always going to have prayer requests because I don't think any prayer is too big or too small for the Lord. One of them is my girlfriend's actually coming here to visit for our 2 years. And something that we've just been talking about is like, what does it look like for long distance to creatively pursue the other person? Just because a lot of the ways that that I've been able to just show her my care for her, my love for her, has to just look a lot different now. Now that I live a lot farther away, it takes a lot more time to get there. I can't be there within 10 minutes like I used to. So I think that's one of the biggest things right now for me, just learning how to like creatively just pursue her, my relationship with her, and then like really bring it back to the Lord always. That's one of the biggest things. I would also say that as I really kind of get into my rhythm of what it looks like now I've been here for several weeks, that I really intentionally learn from others around me, because there's so much knowledge and wisdom. I mean, there are so many men in NCS that have so much to offer and are willing to offer. You guys honestly would maybe not, but maybe be surprised at how many people have told me that their house, they're like, hey, if you need to get away, come to my house, like come to my porch. Give me a call. We'll head out somewhere. We'll go get lunch or something. If you ever need to get away, just call me up. And these are guys who don't know me. other than the fact that like of what they've learned in the past month. So they're new friendships and they're already digging deep. So I guess my second like really big prayer request is that I'm open to those and I'm willing to jump into those and take guys up on those offers. Cause how many times have I've heard that, but just never really jumped into it. So I think those are a couple of things I would love prayer for.
Okay. Well, let me give a shout out to all the men in our community here in Winston-Salem that if you need an opportunity to share with one another, just Google New Canaan Society. Right now, because of the COVID situation, we're meeting in a hybrid situation as well as Zooming. You can log on and register to come to one of the hybrid events. But if you want to connect with your other brothers, your other Christian brothers in the community, New Canaan Society is a good place to begin that. And again, AJ, we want to thank you for your insight and your work that you're doing in our community as well in bringing the Christian brothers together. Thank you, sir.
And just a couple of things here. First of all, AJ, we'll be praying for you. What's your girlfriend's name?
Caitlin.
Caitlin. All right. And AJ's last name is Britton. I don't think it was mentioned from the beginning. So just if you're looking for it, just you'll find AJ better if you know his last name. So we'll be praying for you, AJ. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Acts 8:20 says, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us He was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus Himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Acts 16:31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we close this podcast with this invitation.
Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.